a little voice recording.
So, as often mentioned, the Buddha said that the bulk of suffering in life is caused by what he said is the second arrow, that the world often shoots into us the first arrow in the form of insults, people doing things we don't like, people, things not going our way, getting bad news, obstacles, all the frustrating things in life. And these things are very real. But the Buddha said that for every arrow we get shot with by the world, we shoot many arrows into ourselves in the form of, I can't believe that person said that to me. I can't believe I have to go through with this again. I can't believe this person's putting, you know, pressure on me. We repeat the story in our head and we build up resistance and stress. And we don't see that the bulk of our suffering is in fact not caused by what the other person or the world has done. It's caused by our resistance to what's occurred, to this sense that we should be entitled to a life free of any frustration or discomfort or anybody doing anything we don't want. And if somebody does something we don't want, or if sometimes we encounter a frustration or something not going our way or an insult or whatever we encounter, we become, of course, the mind goes into overdrive figuring out how we can either avoid it or make it go away or deny that it's happening. That's the Buddha said that there's two ways that we unskillfully respond to external bad news, frustrations, antagonism. The first arrow. We respond to the first arrow in two unskillful ways. The first is we try to get rid of it as quickly as possible using any means possible, regardless of how long or successful the strategy of getting rid of it is. So, for example, we encounter somebody who is, we have an unpleasant interaction with them, and we might decide, well, I'm going to avoid that entire place, that entire restaurant, that entire, you know, store, that entire family. I'm going to avoid all that. Or I'm going to really, you know, I'm just going to take it out on it. Well, we try to just make it go away as quickly as possible. The second thing we do that's unskillful is we attach the entire cause or explanation to why there's suffering to the external trigger. I'll give you an example. At work, a few weeks ago, I was assigned to work with somebody who was on this project with me. And they turned out in one interaction to be very, very intransigent, and I thought extremely unimaginative. And in fact, in my mind, they were a Nazi. Just following orders without any listening to what I thought was reason or whatever. And so, in my mind, there was this sense of outrage. And then yesterday, when I was assigned to work with the same person, I went in, and before I realized it, there was this underlying physical defense and tightness. There was this sense of, can't believe this is happening to me, as if I'm the only person that has to work with somebody that they've been frustrated with in the past. So something was happening to me. My body was tight. My mind was trying to push her out of existence. She would, when she came into the area where my, where I was working, I was literally mentally trying to laser gun her into antimatter. And then I realized, in the midst of all this, she's not doing anything. Sure, in the past there was this, but she's not doing anything at all. I'm bringing all the stress. I'm bringing the defensiveness. I'm bringing the mind that's shrunken down just around the size of this person. I'm bringing this sense of resistance. She hadn't even said anything. So, but if you asked me what was going on, I would have said, it's her fault. I have to work with this person. The reason why I'm having a shitty day is because of her. So that's really unskillful, because she wasn't doing anything, but I was bringing the entire, this story, and this resistance, and this frustration, and this sense of, it's happening to me. I was bringing all that stuff in. And that is the second way we cause unnecessary suffering, the unskillful way we react. We're always bringing in the story of the past into the present, expecting and becoming defensive and building up this resistance. So the Buddha calls for what is known as sati sampujana, which means attending to our experience before we do anything else, before we practice metta, before, which is goodwill for the person, before we practice forgiveness, before we practice relaxing, you know, or thinking thoughts of that are skillful, like gratitude or whatever. The very first practice is, instead of focusing out there, bringing the awareness within and seeing and saying yes to what's going on right now. Attending is this radical sense of not trying to get rid of our experience. It's saying, yes, this is happening right now. I'm with this person. I'm feeling this. This is what's going on. And instead of focusing all our awareness externally, we start from the inside. The Buddha said that there's three types of things that cause this resistance, three types of dukkha. The first type of dukkha is that physical stress that we bring to situations where we become tight, the shoulders, you know, tighten, the stomach gets tight, the throat closes off. There's this physical defensiveness. And the second form is this mood of this emotional trying to get through with it, get done with this, get rid of this, this sort of emotional resistance. And then the third is an almost existential series of thoughts that go along the lines of, why me? Why am I the one that has to work with this person? Where did I make the wrong turn in life? Surely there was a door, number two, that I should have opened where I would not have to work with any schnooks and I would be free of any discomfort and any stress and any uncomfortable interactions. But no, I chose door number one. So we have that three levels. And when we turn and acknowledge our experience, which is the foundation of Buddhist acceptance, we start from the inside out. We start from the gut feelings, the body, and we first say, okay, what's happening right now? What am I feeling right now? What's the texture of this feeling? What's going on here? What's my shoulders like? My stomach? How am I breathing? Is the breathing shallow? Am I aware of how my throat and my face feels? Then there's an acknowledgement of the mood. What kind of mental energy is the mind jumping around? Is the mind settling? Am I spacing out and creating this fog? Or am I aware of what's going on? And then finally, there's an awareness of what kind of thoughts am I adding to this experience? What's the voiceover that I'm adding to this interaction? What am I bringing? What kind of story am I bringing? What is the voice that I'm thinking and sound like? Is it an urgent voice? News bulletin. Have to work with shitty asshole again. Or is it a persistent nagging little voice? This is going to suck. This is going to suck. What's the quality of the voice? Now, this resistance, it does some really unskillful things that we should be aware of. Beyond pinning the blame entirely on the external person and not seeing all the resistance, all the storytelling, all the emotional stuff and moods we bring to a situation, we only see that person. So we're not seeing the whole story. What we're also doing is hardwiring into the mind anger, frustration. We're hardwiring into our behavioral mode this sense of whenever stress arises, I've got to get rid of it as soon as possible, using pushing it away, using denial, using running away, using just anything. And the problem with it is that unskillful behaviors don't stay in just one part of our experience. When we practice avoidance, for example, at our work, or when we practice lying to get out of a situation, or when we practice denial, it doesn't just stay in that interaction with that person. It gets hardwired into all of our behaviors. The mind doesn't have boundaries. It doesn't say, oh, when I'm at work, it's okay for me to avoid people, but when I'm in my relationship and trying to be intimate, I will not avoid anything. That's not the way the mind works. As neuroscientists say, what neurons fire together get wired together. What we do with our minds creates the mind we're going to live in. If we practice pushing away, avoidance, resistance, you know, running away from any discomfort, we're going to do that everywhere. Whether we like it or not, it's going to flood into the rest of our lives. So every interaction in our lives is an opportunity to change the mind, just as every interaction is an opportunity to plant the wrong plants in our mind, to plant something we don't want to grow in the garden of our minds. Oh, God. Anyway. So you get the idea. It doesn't stay, the way we act at work doesn't stay just at work. It floods outwards into the way we interact with our friends and our families and our loved ones and on our vacations. You ever notice sometimes when we're racing through life and then we get to a weekend and we're still racing? Because the racing just doesn't stop. What we do with the mind plants the mind that we're going to live in. So it's really important to stop this process and to start a process that helps the mind settle. And one thing that helps the mind settle is sabotaging this, it's the world's fault, and bringing the awareness within, seeing what's going on, saying, yes, this is happening right now, and then start by relaxing the body, relaxing the gut feelings, relaxing the breath, relaxing the mind, focusing the thought on something that is going to bring it peace. The Buddha often talked about the core of tolerating other people begins with balancing the mind correctly. If there's somebody in our life that we really can't stand, we generally, paradoxically, flow outwards and fixate on them. My favorite comedian, Louis C.K., once said that he would spend like the most of his routines trying to make the one person who wasn't laughing laugh. We, instead of focusing on everybody, we go to the one person or the thing that's causing the stress sometimes, and we want to push it away. So we flood outwards and we don't balance the mind, focusing on what's going on, redressing the balance. Now, there's some important stuff to mention. Accepting what's going on does not mean we agree with it. When we say yes to this is what's happening right now, it doesn't say, yes, I agree. Oh, I'm totally happy I have to work with this person. That's really frustrating for me. It's not, oh, hooray. It's not even resignation. Acceptance is simply saying, right now, in this moment, I'm feeling resistance and stress and tightness and anxiousness and trying to zap this person out of existence. That's where I am. That's what I'm going to work with. I'm not going to work with trying to zap this person out of existence right now or kill them or run away from them or avoid them. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to say, okay, how can I reduce the amount of stress that I'm bringing into this interaction? The good news about that is that in the end of the day, this is what my many years have taught me, which is that I cannot fucking change any of you. I cannot. So if my strategy for happiness is changing any one of you, I'm fucked. But if my strategy is changing the way I react when I'm around you, then I've got a real, real good chance of reducing my suffering. Because I can refocus my mind. I can relax my breath and my body. I can think thoughts that are more skillful. I can determine what I'm going to pay attention to. I can determine what stories I'm going to repeat in my mind. So I actually have control over that. I'm refocusing my mind on something that I have control over. Acknowledging finally really develops some important skills. The great psychologist Carl Rogers says that the paradox is that when I begin to accept what's going on with me, it's when I begin to change. It's when my experience changes, when I accept where I really am. What we develop is we develop the ability to focus the mind where we want rather than where it innately wants to go. The mind always wants to flood outwards, find the person that it thinks is to blame and fixate on them. But if we develop the skill of bringing the awareness at least somewhat inwards, we can start to control how much, when, and where, and how we pay attention to what's going on in the world. We generally need to pay attention to the externals much less than we do. We're often much less, on the other hand, aware of what's going on inside, where we carry so much of the stress and the stuff that causes us suffering. So all we're doing is rebalancing the mind and developing that skill. We also develop the ability to sit with stuff without reacting. When I'm with somebody that pisses the shit out of me, and I have to immediately say something that will make them go away, what I'm training the mind to do is be reactive. But when I'm capable of sitting with them, breathing, finding the shoulders, allowing the shoulders to settle, relaxing and softening the belly, noticing if the mind is open and aware of other stuff, if I'm capable of doing that, I've bought myself a lot of patience. And I've rewired the mind to be able to do stuff that it's not innately capable of doing. I'm bringing really, really valuable skills into my behavioral vocabulary. That's a really wonderful thing, not to have to react all the time. Let's see if there's anything else. Yeah, we learn how to bring compassion finally into places where we couldn't bring compassion before. Because if I'm interacting in frustrating interactions only with pushing away or trying to make it go away or end it or just building up defensiveness, then I'm not being compassionate with myself, and I'm definitely not being compassionate with you. But if I start by being compassionate with myself, oh, there's stress going on, my breathing is really, really uncomfortable, or my mind is just filled with these angry, racing, repetitive thoughts, let me see if I can change the thoughts. If I bring that compassion to myself, then I have a fighting chance to bring a little of it to you. But compassion and goodwill never starts from the outside in. It just doesn't. We like to think that, oh, well, I'm my toughest critic and I'm nice with other people, but that's generally not true. Most of the time, if we can't really feel the desire to be happy and peaceful and tranquil within and bring that attitude to what's going on within, we're not really going to bring that to anyone else. We're going to bring that sense of everyone's an obstacle, everyone's in my way, why can't you just give me space and get out of my way? We're going to bring that to life. So this is opening our hearts to a very, very different way of reacting to uncomfortable situations. Not the unskillful way, which is trying to make it go away and blaming it entirely on the person or the world, but instead seeing how much we can sit, say yes, see what's going on, feel the texture of what's occurring, relax it, and instead of pinning the blame entirely on you, we ask ourselves, how much am I bringing to this situation? How much can I let go? So that even if there always will be some stress, I'm reducing it as much as I can. Believe me, if I reduce the inner stress I carry to most interactions, I can pretty much sit through anything with anyone. Because so much of what makes it unbearable is not what they're saying, it's the tension that builds that just makes me want to run away, because the body is so tense, the feelings are so tense, and the mind is so uncomfortable. So, I said that it's not resignation. If there are people, I should say, that are always unskillful, because this question is going to come up, but what about the person in my life who really is a shithead? Then avoid them. Then avoid them, right? I mean, literally, if there's somebody that you've tried the skillful way, it doesn't work out, then yes, the Buddha said, he even had a word for fools, and he said in the beginning of the Dhammapada, yes, avoid them. If there's somebody you've tried to tolerate, in the Sabbasava Sutta, he says, first try to tolerate. Try to tolerate people who are like, he said, insects that bite. But if people turn into wild boars that cause destruction, then avoid them. But we try first the relaxing what's going on, the inner work, before we throw in the towel. Too often in life, we go directly to throwing in the towel. And all this is doing is adding another strategy to our tool chest. So,